If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Everyone deserves a chance in the driver's seat. For GM and Revolt, that means leading the way on the road to an all-electric future and envisioning a world with zero crashes, zero tailpipe emissions, and zero congestion. GM's committed to making EVs accessible for everybody. That means you too. So what are you waiting for? GM's got the keys. You grab the wheel. Learn more about an all-electric future and the 000 initiative at GM.com. GM, everybody in.
You're now listening to The Check-In with Black Menswear, and I'm your host, Neandre Broussard, CEO and founder of Black Menswear. It's unfortunate that black men have had to fight negative perceptions that not only make our personal journeys more difficult, but directly impact the wider African-American community. On The Check-In, we provide proof against these stereotypes by discussing engaging topics that uplift our community through interviews of inspiring individuals with stories of rags to riches, defeat to victory, and just downright interesting stuff you'll want to hear. Although Black Menswear was birthed out of a love for men's fashion and style, that love has blossomed into one of the internet's foremost communities for men to gain encouragement, inspiration, and of course, style and swag tips. We've literally gone viral over and over again for our flash mobs. Now, you ain't gotta be black to listen to this podcast, but you do have to keep an open mind and have a desire to be a part of something to change the narrative. Thanks for tapping in. This is The Check-In with Black Menswear.
What's up, my beautiful people, my brothers and sisters out there, the kings and queens. Welcome to another episode of The Check-In. And y'all, we got to go into the hustle and bustle, the man himself, the energy. I like to call it like just my man is just a fireball of energy. And I can tell, I know why he does that, but we're going to tap into it. We got the Montrez Harrell with us here, aka Trez.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
That's what they call you.
Yes, sir.
Joining us in for the check-in here. Trez, man, how are you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing well, man. Again, excited to have you. I love having the platform of Black Menswear, because me personally, I'm able to tap into some guys that I've actually been following for years. You know what I'm saying? Being able to have a conversation to really, really tap into what obstacles you've overcome as a black man, what successes you have as a black man, and how can you share your story with other black men, right? So I ain't gonna hold nobody out there listening. Guys, if you're listening, make sure you got to subscribe to the channel, right? Subscribe to the check-in. Make sure that you're sharing this story with other brothers, other sisters too, man. Yeah, we talk black man one to another. But shoot, there's some queens out there that can listen to, you know, that can understand the struggle as well. Because, you know, as a people, we go through some similar things no matter where we're from, no matter where we are. So make sure they tap in. So go ahead and subscribe. My first question, I love to open it this way because I can introduce you as a, you know, NBA star, as an entrepreneur, as all of these things, right? But I like to let my guests introduce themselves. So, you know, so with that in mind, finish this statement for me. Montrez Harrell is ...
just a person that, you know, always trying to find what he can do better, or find things that he can use to better himself. A person that's always trying to learn, no matter what, is a new hobby or you know, something that I'm looking to, you know, go into on a business aspect. You know, just somebody that's, you know, constantly just trying to grow as a person, as a son, as a father. You know, I would say that's who Montrez really is. It's a lot to, you know, those, you know, the three topics that I kind of hit on. But, I mean, it's kind of wholeheartedly who I am, really.
Yeah, I love, man. I love family men, right, bro? That's me. I got two sons. I try not to call them little kids no more because they're 7 and 8 now. But that fatherhood aspect, man, I feel for you, right? Now, I don't travel as much as you do, right? Because you got, 40 games on the road a season. But what does it mean to you?
I'm in a different aspect. Me and my kids, we live in different places. Yeah, so, even in the season and stuff, it's still tough because my kids don't live with me. I bought my house in Atlanta, so that's where my lady and my kids, that's where they live. with their mom, and you know that's where their home space is. So yeah, I get to you know talk to my kids a lot on FaceTime, and then you know holidays and stuff like that, we definitely get together and bring them out because my kids are still young right now, 5 and 4. So yeah, I know how that 1 year apart is. Yeah, I know how that is. And then I also
yeah.
My daughter, who's my stepdaughter, she just turned 13 on Monday. So
nice. Oh, nice. Nice, man. Kids will make you think different about life, won't they? Like they just
definitely, definitely. It changes your perspectives with a lot of things and a lot of different aspects. And you know, maybe things that you would do once when you were younger. It's like, man, like yeah, I definitely would do this when I was younger. But you try to keep them away from it wholeheartedly, especially. You know, everybody jumps on me with my family and with my daughter. You know, it seems like I'm the pushover when it comes to my daughter.
Right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's my little girl. That's my fat mama. I love her to death. She's really, she's coming into her own. Like, you know, just as a child, her and her brother is, you know, neck and neck, inseparable, can't tear them apart. They go too long without one another. They literally start looking for the other one. But they definitely get on each other's nerves. But yeah, my daughter, just to see like her and watch like Netflix cartoons and then different little shows and stuff like that, she rewinds it back to sing with it, man. It's just crazy. And then my son, he's a gamer like me. He literally gets on the computer and he'll literally play Roblox all day.
I'm
sitting in my space, game space right now. I was literally just on GTA RP before I got on this. And I'm probably going right back on when I'm done.
For sure. Man, so is it safe to say, I mean, that's kind of how you balance, you know, just the grind and the go, is that your kind of your getaway from a gaming perspective, how you can kind of level set things back out? And
I could say it, but then again, I would be lying because at the same time, I'm trying to go into the business aspect of, you know, how people are getting into streaming and, you know, being paid to, you know, actually
stream
gaming and stuff like that. I already love video game playing with my friends, as my childhood friends I grew up with. I don't really have a lot of friends, but I only got like good 5 to 6 guys that I literally talk to probably every day. You know, just trying to, you know, help them really get into that lane because, really just, the rapper T Grizzly, you know, talking to him and actually playing, you know, in the GTA world with him and just seeing that whole aspect of how he transitioned, you know, his group and like their
money. Right.
So, you know, like me and my guys, who's already gaming in general, man. So just trying to get into that same type of space so they can have that lane to kind of, you know, attract to and go into prosper on their own, really.
Man, it's crazy just the levels of just the different ways that we can capitalize on what we already do nowadays.
Man,
you know what I mean?
And I said I was born in the wrong time zone, man. It's just kids going to school for playing 2K now, man. I was born in the wrong time zone. Don't get me wrong. I love people, man. This is what I do. But, you know, if you could have had one of those as a degree, too, I would have definitely been on it.
Yeah, for sure, bro. Take advantage of it. And I think especially like where we are as a people now, especially Black people, we're coming into much more creative spaces when it comes to leveraging our creative talents for reward, right? For money, versus in the past. I mean, you know, we grew up and it was, you know, I speak for myself, right, brother from Houston, like it was a, you know, the way you do it is you go to school, you get an education, you go to college. From there, you find out where you want to go in life and you do it. Versus now, I'm telling my boys now, I caught myself yesterday talking to my 7-year-old or my 8-year-old, and we were talking about school. And he was like, you know, he said something. And I said, well, son, you know, in 10 years, when you go to college, I was like, well, actually, you know, if you go to college. Cause if you figure something out before then, just know daddy gonna support you. We gonna be, you know, I'm gonna make sure we good off of you.
Man, listen, I swear, like it's crazy, like to actually like see like all the different like untapped markets and you know the way people are coming into them in their own stage. And man, I'm literally not gonna, you know, try to push my kid in either way, sports or anything like that. You know, my whole thing was being able to, you know, have a lot of different businesses and be successful in those businesses to the point where when my kids get older, if they want to, you know, step into just, you know, the business and learn the business from what I already have and taking that over and something for it, they can do that, you know. But at the same time, they're going to have that aspect to, you know, in the same type of you know, just the path we had to choose. You know, with me, I'm right there with you, bro. Like, I'm in a small town in Houston, bro. Like, I'm small city in North Carolina, bro. Probably like 30, 45 minutes from Raleigh. And literally, it's tough to make it out of there, man. So, literally, I just know that, you know, once I started playing basketball and, you know, started going around doing AAU.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Which was a blessing for me. My manager, who was my AAU coach back then, like, he's definitely a huge blessing in my life because he's actually, you know, brought me and actually helped me get through so many different doors, so many different trials and tribulations. And this is a man who, you know, not only coached us at 14, but also had a son and a family who used to come along with us on the AAU games. And, you know, they was all coming out of the pocket, you know, because he's seen something special in a group of kids that, you know, enjoy playing against basketball around each other. And he wanted to keep that together. And we literally played AAU until we aged out from 14 all the way up to 17. And it's just crazy how it went. Like I said, my manager, I call him coach, man. Just whatever at that point in time, I really don't call him manager. I still call him coach.
Right.
He literally still Coach T. His name is Terrence Taylor, but literally since 14, he's always been Coach T. Anyone of me, the guys, like, that's what he still go by to this day. And I mean, just he oversees every one of my businesses and every one of my foundations and things back home. I got the nonprofit foundations for just the different inner city things that we have that, you know, are not really paid attention to in our city, man. Like, we redid the library for my old middle school, different book bag drives, just different things in general, man. Just because, you know, nobody's going to come out from outside of the community to fix the community. It's going to have to be the people that's in that community. So I'm from that city. I know it's, you know, takes to make it out of it. And, you know, that's where all my businesses are. You know, I don't live in North Carolina just because, like I said, I'm from there, man. Like, I was born and raised there and was lived there since I left for my senior year of high school to go and play at my prep school. But I wanted to make it out of there, you know. So, but still, that's home. So I'm trying to be that one to, you know, not just say that, oh, he just comes back, you know, here and there, you know, but somebody actually that's in the city to help, trying to do the things to help upbuild the city. So I have a shoe store there. I have a daycare in my hometown. I have a gym in my hometown. Like, literally, I'm literally just literally trying to stay into, like, a lot of different things that's to the point where it's helped us, you know, rise as a city. Because literally in the next city, for us to have to do anything fun, find anything profitable-wise, man, we have to go all the way to Raleigh. And that's, like, an hour drive. So, like, I'm literally trying to upbuild and change it in my own city, bro. So, the point that we don't have to make that drive. We can have it right here in our own city.
I love that, man. You know, a lot of people do, but you don't hear those stories, right? A lot of people that do have success, that do try to go back and ensure that their communities still have access to the same things that other communities have. So, I really do appreciate that you're ensuring that you're giving back to where you came from. Because you've seen, you know, you kind of look back on it and say, man, if I had this when I was growing up, or if we had this when I was growing up, things could have been different. Now, granted, I mean, you became successful and you know, you made it out and, you know, those things, but were there obvious things along the way that could have been avoided just because communities having resources, for sure. Right?
For sure. Because the thing about it is, and what me growing up as a kid is way different from, you know, where it is now. Us, we had to literally, like, try to find gyms. We had to, you know, maybe go to the next city and try to rent a gym from somebody. Me and my guys, like, we literally, like I'm basically, like, low-key kind of like the eyeball out because I don't live, like, or grew up where the guys that I'm literally best friends with, I didn't go to school with them. You know, I only seen them on the weekend. So, literally, like, we literally tried to get our work in, like, YMCAs, you feel me, like, different things like that. But it was still tough because at the same time, he was our coach was coming out of pocket, so we had to find what worked in our situation, you know. So it definitely was tough. As opposed now, like, I have a gym, you feel me? I own my own gym, you feel me? Where I go home and I can get a workout in without having to worry about this, that, or the third. But at the same time, it's open, right, 24 hours. It's going on now. You know, kids can actually go onto our website and actually set up to a point where they can train with. We got basketball trainers. We have weightlifting trainers. We have the sports therapy sessions in there where we have the massage chairs, the therapeutic gun, all that, literally, like, AC'd out, like, literally. And this was, like, just a space where it's kind of like an old, not really barn, but basically like an old warehouse type. You feel me? It was a blessing for me because I ended up getting it from the church in the city. And they just told me, all I need to do is just make sure the light bill stays paid. And we took care of that. No problem. I literally renovated the whole inside. I put a court in there, two ways. So you got full court regular way, and then you got two separate courts for the sides. If you go sideways, we got bleachers in there. We got full out weight room, turf grass in there. Because like I said, man, I'm a closed off person. I don't really try to put my energy. I don't really try to, you know, lash myself out there to a lot of people because I don't know what their intentions are. So I'm a closed off person. So everything that kind of, you know, with my circle is kind of somebody that, you know, is really invested not only in me, but into the vision that I have to what I want to come forth out of what we're doing. My facility, I have the basically like the guy who taught me, literally trained me growing through high school and stuff like that. He works for us as well, training the kids track and stuff like that because that's his field. Right. Like he has his actual license to be a trainer, and that's what he does on his own. But at the same time, you know, he works for where's Coach A at now? I want to say he's at the school called Northern or Nass Central, one of two. Don't get me wrong. I don't know, but he teaches track there still to this day. And he actually works for us to be able to come in and teach the guys strength and conditioning, also teaching them track and just the different regimens to actually still have that access to be able to tap into, man. And like everybody knows him as well, you know, literally Coach A, like that's his name, right? Like don't nobody call him by his name except for my pops and the people that actually like know him around those age, but everybody else is Coach A, literally wherever he goes, like still to this day. And it's wild, like. Like I said, that's just how my circle work. I don't really like open myself up to a lot of people because I don't really want to have to worry about what they got going on in the back end.
Right, right. That's a good point, though. You know, when you think about stages of success, one of the biggest things around it is, you know, that kind of pushes people to new stages of success is those people that are around them, right? One of the biggest things that I've read over the years is that a circle, when we think about our circle isn't just meant to be linear, right? It ain't meant to be everybody's on the same playing field. Granted, you know, like it should be somebody that's doing a little bit better than you and somebody that's a little bit behind you, because then it becomes truly a circle of, okay, I'm pouring into you, you pouring into me, and that's how we all kind of continue to grow together. And it sounds like you got that around you too.
I do. I definitely do. It was one of those things where, you know, I never knew that I would be in this situation I'm in now. And honestly, my dream wasn't, you feel me, NBA. It just wasn't. It was just being able to, when I started playing, it was just for the, you know, enjoying the game, loving playing the game of basketball. My first sport was actually baseball, simple as that.
Okay.
That's what I did first, but I hit a growth spurt. And then, you know, but I always enjoyed the game of basketball because that's, you know, what me and my grandmother definitely bonded over a lot, which is crazy. And she's not here with me to this day. I mean, she's not with me today, but, you know, it's something I fell in love with being around with her. And after that, it's literally I couldn't put a ball down. And literally just coming up, I literally had 1,000 other little in-house goals, toddler goals all around the place, like literally over the house, everywhere. I drove my grandfather crazy with it. And literally, like, I did all the things that anything that you could think of to make a basketball goal, I did on it. Like, I literally got in trouble for cutting my dad's fishing net one time, the bottom of it. Turned into a goal, like I fell in love with the game because my grandmother, and you know, just going out throughout, you know, playing high school and stuff like that, and you know, still wasn't the mindset of thinking that I'll make it to the NBA because, like, when I say I'm from a small town and like barely like maybe 300 to 500 kids went to my high school, bro, something like that, like no lie, you know, it's still not only just that aspect, you know, with you going around and starting to gain some, you know, success in the sport. It sucks when the own people in your community tell you how you're not going to make it and how you can't go and be prosperous
in
what you're doing. Like, I literally had my senior year, closing out to the end of my junior high school, I literally had people to the point where they was not, like, talking about me, like students, their parents. Like, it was bad, bro. Like, just because I wanted to leave the school and, you know, go and better myself and put myself in the situation to the point where, hey, now I see I'm getting college buzz. Because, like I said, I played AAU from 14 to 17.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So, yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
So I got my looks through AAU. So now they started paying attention. Like, I actually have a chance to go off and play college ball. I'm not about to miss that, having to, A, still probably be able to have to go to a prep school or a JUCO school because my grades, our scale of marginal, which y'all teaching us, isn't on what it should be. Go figure. And then B, I'm not getting no better here, bro. Like, I'm not saying, like, you know, just talking down, but bro, I averaged a triple double in high school, bro.
Come on,
and this is being me real with myself. Like, yeah, I could stay there and soaked up that, you know, love and just continue to just be okay with complacent, but I wasn't going to get any better. I was going to get to school and have a real eye opener, bro. It's going to be, you know, real, you know, like, whoa, like, it ain't as easy as I thought it was. So I wanted to put myself in that situation beforehand, you know, so. Like, it's just wild. Like, I literally know exactly what all that feels like in that whole aspect. And still to this day, like I said, I still go back home and try to uplift the city. Like, and you feel me? I still come across problems and stuff to this day. And it's wild. Like,
right.
Why are y'all hating on somebody that's trying to shed a different light from what we're accustomed to in our city? Like, y'all look at us just being one of the smallest cities in North Carolina with the highest murder rate.
One thing we got to overcome as a community, and I think we're doing it more now than we did in the past, was that whole crab in the barrel mentality, right? To where we feel as though, you know, if somebody get out, it can only be one. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't get out, right? Secondly, if I'm successful, it can only be one. Everybody can't be successful. Right. And I think we're in a space now where we're coming out of that. And I do credit some of that to the social media space that we're in today. Mm-hmm. Not for the glitz and glamour, but for the, I can see in the people that are actually doing stuff. And I feel as though, you know what? I can be motivated by their success versus, I'm hindered by their success. It's like, your success ain't got nothing to do with mine. Why do I have to hate on you? You know, with your success, that's not it. God didn't put that in my plans.
For sure.
My plans ain't your plans. And I think now we're getting to a point where, you know, we're becoming more open to the idea of, if there's a seat at the table, I can take my seat at that table and replicate that and turn it into 10 seats at the table. Or, shit, I can just make my own table. You know what I'm saying? Instead of having to sit at somebody else's table.
And it's wild that you said that because, like, these are the same type of talks that I have, like, with my friends, like, to this day. Like, we still trying to find ways to the point where not only we're bettering ourselves, but each other in that same type of aspect. Like, my friends know, like, where I'm at. Like, they know I'm in the NBA. Yeah. Like, they know that, you feel me? But at the same time, none of my friends, and I can literally say this, have ever reached out to me and been like, hey, bro, like, I'm down bad, bro. Like, I need this X amount of dollars. Which they already know. If they ask me that, then I'm probably still going to give it to them, like, because they know
right,
what we've been through. But the thing about it is, I can probably say that none of the guys that I've actually in my circle have been in that situation. You feel me?
Yeah.
And that actually means something. Like, because they could easily be like, hey, man, like, hey, bro, like, yeah, it's the team. They tripping, like, or this going on. Like, they don't know what they talking
right.
about. Like, but I don't want those type of people around me because we're not benefiting from it. Nobody's benefiting from it. Like, you literally can go to the well and we can all figure out how all of us can, you feel me, come back, get something
Absolutely.
Maybe find something to fill up, keep going, or we can all come back and continue to take from this one well until the motherfucking empty.
Right.
Like,
right.
And when it's empty, it's still going to be that same situation where everybody is looking at that one person.
Right.
Like, and I can actually say with my group of friends, like, I actually been around and blessed to, you know, at a, and this at an early age to, like, really figure this out. Like, because, like, when I say, like, I had no friends in high school, in my own high school, I had zero. None.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I came to the point where I hated going to school type. Like, I really only enjoyed, like, weekend type going to be around guys that didn't, wasn't nowhere around me throughout the week. And it's wild. Because I still had to play on teams with these guys and interact and stuff like that. You feel me? But it's just goes to show you, like, people show their true colors. You feel me? When they don't receive that same light that you have, people show their true colors. You feel me? Yeah. I actually know what that feels like and still attest to it to this day, you know, dealing with people in the business aspect that I'm doing. You know, I still have, I deal with issues in that. Like, it's been many situations that me and my manager had to go through, jump through hoops, just to try to put businesses in the city or try to buy the stuff that y'all have just sitting and looking horrible in the city.
Right.
Like, I literally, where my store sits, my shoe store, it's literally on the opposite side, maybe four or five abandoning foreclosed businesses. But people own the building, people own the buildings but won't sell them.
Yeah. Wow. Well.
Like, what are we doing? These were stores.
Like, yeah, right, right, right.
Stores, a pharmacy, like, yeah, not saying they were the most glitz and glamorous, but they were actual businesses that was going on down here to the point where now they're boarded up, glass broken out the window, like, I'd say, like, our name of our city is Rocky Mount, the city on the rise. Where? Come on.
Like, do something about it. Well, I think it's great. I think it's great, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, so we built our platform off of this notion of impact over influence, right? Because especially the space that we're in, I mean, guys will come to our flash mob, which is like our, you know, the super large events that we do. We got hundreds of brothers in the suits moving, you know, through a city as a unit. And guys will come and they'll just say, man, I'm so glad I came here. Because I've been thinking about doing things where I'm at in my community, and I didn't know that there were brothers out there like me that I can lean on for support.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now they get into this space where, you know, they're not the anomaly no more. Right. It's 200 other brothers that got a mindset of, yo, how can I help my community? How can I uplift my community? Right. How can I put this person with this person and see what happens and not feel like, oh, you know, I got to broker a deal. Like, how do I just put brothers together? Right. Because there's so much that we can grow from and learn from when we have a community and when we're united. And to your point, like that's what you're saying is the reason why our platform exists. Because there are, you know, when we're able to pull the five or the 10 in the community and bring them to a place where they're now seeing, you know, again, hundreds of brothers that look like them that had the same mindset as them. They don't feel like they're on an island no more. And they feel motivated to do even more. Like, all right, I see what y'all saying. I know y'all come up against it, but I don't care. Right. You know why? Because I know what I'm going to do is going to change the life of somebody. I'm going to impact somebody else. And then somebody's going to see what I'm doing and say, you know what? I'm tired of all of this. I'm tired of us being in a state where, you know, we're substandard. Nah, we got a level of excellence, too. You know what I'm saying? Why everybody else can be excellent, but we can't be excellent?
For sure.
Because it's not our culture to be excellent. It's our culture to be struggling. It's our culture to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel you on that, bro. It don't make no sense to me either.
And I just, and the crazy thing about it is, like, bro, like, and I'm already in that mindset because, like I said, I deal with it. But at the same time, bro, I don't care. Like, people, like in my city already know, like, how I am. Like, I don't care what you think about me or what you feel about me, bro, because at the end of the day, I have nothing to prove to you. I'm still going to go out there and do the same thing that I'm still trying to do because this is what I'm on the path to do. You feel me? And if I'm able to be able to touch 1, 2, 5, I still made a change in some aspect. Like, I have my AAU teams. I literally have, I don't even know, I lost count, bro. But I literally maybe have like 12 AAU teams, bro, between boys and girls. All AAU.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Literally, like from fourth grade all the way up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I'm looking to work and get into figuring out steps to do Pop Warner. Like, that's what I've really been seeing like a lot of that, and just like the kid, like, I really want to do that for our city, because you know, I wasn't able to be a part of that, you
right.
know, little league football, you feel me? But I was a part of it because my dad coached. And but okay. by the time where, you know, it was me to get in, I had already missed that jump, you know. So now it was my yeah. two younger brothers, you know, my middle brother, my baby brother, you know. So I'm yeah. still out there supporting, you know, getting prepared for middle school, but I missed that gap, you know. So but it's just like not even having the knowledge of knowing. Like, we have a lot of, you know, young promising athletes that come out of our small city, as crazy as it may sound.
Yeah.
I'm one
yeah.
of them. Ty Gurley's another. That's two okay. right there in two separate different lanes. And Ty yeah. was special and still is, bro. Like,
yeah. yeah.
What he did on the field, bro, and he was like, literally, he played all sports. He literally was nice in baseball, and he was a hell of an athlete in track. Like, he went to states in track.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
So,
oh yeah, yeah, I can see
like, that. Literally, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have athletes that come out of that area, like still to this yeah. day, Tarver High, the school that he went to, is still winning football championships. You've been 3A and 2A. So, like, we have the athletes, but the thing about it is, we don't have the platform that shows that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and that's what yeah. more like literally one of the biggest things. I'm trying to make sure that we change that narrative. You know. The more businesses, the more things that we bring, the more light that we shine to the city. That's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to just be off of, you know, hearsay or, you know, osmosis. It's not going to just happen like that. You know, we're going to have to put forth the work. We're going to have to actually make some changes throughout the whole city. And we've been doing it, but at the same time, we'll do a little bit here and then they'll fade off. Do a little bit here. Like, we got to stay consistent yeah. with it. And that's, I think that's one of the main things that me, my management team, my people that we try to stay doing. Like, we're always trying to find different aspects, different ways to the point where we can, you know, not only help in the city, but, you know, uplift it with bringing the things in that we need in the city.
Yeah. Yeah. I just value that you understand, right? Because, again, I have a privilege of talking to a lot of brothers, and a lot of times people think, you know what I'm saying? Excuse my friend, but that nigga in the NBA, he don't know what he's talking about. But it's like, nah, bro, like seeing it, being from it, understanding it, and then having a heart to give back, bro, I commend you for that. Because people need to hear that, right? Once you get to a certain level of success, and I'm asking a few questions related to success here, right? Once you get to a certain level of success, people feel like, oh, you're disconnected because they don't listen. They just look and they're like, oh, I can't learn nothing. Like, nah, let's tap in and understand what we're trying to do and how as a community we know we can advance ourselves and take ourselves to the next level, bro. I truly commend you for being that person that's not afraid to take that next step, to take that leap, right? Now, with that in mind, right, finish this sentence for me. I first felt successful when...
I don't know if I consider myself successful, bro, because I don't, everybody's margin of success is different, bro. Whatever
yeah.
you wake up in, everybody's goal of what they feel like is going to make them successful isn't the same. You feel me? So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I let somebody else tell that testament.
Still striving for it. I like yeah, it. I like I, it, bro. I love that.
Keep
yeah.
doing what I'm doing, bro. Keep taking care of my family, my little ones, like I've been aiming to do since 16, 17, bro. And that's
yeah.
that makes me feel like I'm successful, bro. I mean, I got businesses and stuff like that. You know, the numbers say, you know, that they're doing good and they're successful.
Right.
So I'm on the right track, you know, so.
Right. No, I appreciate the humility. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. You got more to life to do, to still do. Like, your mission isn't over,
right.
isn't anywhere near over
like,
yet.
I don't, like I said, everybody's definition of success is different. You know, some people
yeah.
manage their success by how much money they have. Some people manage it by what they done in the world. You know, some people manage it by who they done help. You know, it's a lot of different ways that you could be a successful person, you know, and everybody's minds work a little bit different, you know. Mine's just work, you know, the whole circle. So I don't really, you know, I'm blessed to have money, yes. You know, did I know what it felt like when not having money? Yes. And that really has gotten me to the mindset of where I think now, of how I do business and how I move and, you know, manage my money and not just go through it. This money that I make here playing the game that I love is a blessing. You know, I was able to come, you know, with a talent that God could have gave anybody, but he blessed me with one, and I'm here amongst 300, 400 plus guys in the NBA to do it. But I still understand that, you know, every year I'm not safe.
It's
going to be a draft. It's going to be some players come in, and then not counting the guys that go on to make it throughout the summer league and all that. I understand that. So, you know, I use this money that I make here and put it in other businesses to make me money there. Like, it's not, I don't have all my eggs right here in this basketball thing, bro, because I've been in the league 8 years, bro. It's been a rocky 8 years, trust me. But at the end of the day, bro, ain't nobody going to tell you Trez didn't do what he was supposed to do when it came to, you know, on the court or off the court, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how I move, man. So, it's just, that's my level of success.
For sure. I love it, man. It's real. It's, you know, it's real, raw. It's authentic. It's the truth. You know, I just love because it puts you in a space where you understand there's more to do than what you're just doing right now.
For sure.
Right. You're already thinking into the future of what else, like what's next, what more can I continue to do? And that's a different space that a lot of people aren't in. So, bro, I commend you for that.
I'm just like you. I got three kids.
If you could go back 10 years, finish this statement for you. Trez, watch out for what?
I don't know, man. I ain't really got none that I would really change throughout my process of life, man. Everything that happened to me, man, has been one of those things where, you know, God's taught me a lesson out of it, and, you know, he wanted me to go through it. And 10 years ago, what would I have told myself? I don't have one, man. Because if I had to be placed in those situations again, I'd do them all over again. Military school, that's definitely one of the toughest ones, because I've never been away from home. So going to live at a military school and playing out there, living in Virginia for a year was definitely one of the toughest things. I definitely cried leaving home, bro. I really didn't want to leave my grandmother. But still, throughout all those things, bro, like I said, I wouldn't change anything, bro. This summer, this past summer was a wild event, bro. But
it made me, bro.
It made me who I am. I don't shy away from it, bro. I'm human. You know what they tried to make it out to what I was doing was definitely a fuck, like, out of the book, bro. But I'm human, bro. I live and I learn from it, bro. Like, simple as that. I don't shy away from it. You know, my dad always taught me to be one of those people, bro, to, you know, own up to, you know, what you did. And he's definitely always taught me one of those people to not pay attention to the good things that you've already done, because you already done them. So why do you need to go on? You know, so that's my dad put that in me for, like, instilled that in my mindset for a long time. Definitely in the game of sports. Like, whenever I called my pops, we never talked about the things I did good. I scored 50 in the game. My dad still counting how many free throws I missed.
Yeah.
So that's Yeah. How I am now. You feel me? To the point where I got to tone it down with my own son because he doesn't want to disappoint me in nothing. Yeah. My son literally, like, he could be just doing some basic. And if he thinks I'm upset or to the point where he didn't do it right, he'll cry. Like, and I hate that. You feel me? Because I'm not like that with them. You feel me? But they see how I am with myself, and they think that that's how they got to be. You feel me? So that's another different thing, just having to tone down and learn as well, bro. But that's how my dad taught me. It blessed me to be where I'm at today. I'm in business with my middle brother. We're in the business together. That's another business that I have. We do. We have a kennel and dogs. So. I'm blessed, bro. Like, really, so I really 10 years ago, I wouldn't trash, wouldn't tell to change nothing, honestly.
And I think that's a, you know, again, it's important to know that everything that happens in our life is a lesson, right? And we learn from it. As long as we learn from it and grow from it and develop from it, you know, life is a trajectory. Life is a spectrum. Right. And at this point, I'm one of those people as well. I feel as though God puts you in every situation to gain something from it. Right. Right. And so understanding each of those moments and then how those moments propel you into your future, man, it's the right state of mind to have. Because again, you don't spend time. I like how you said it. I mean, you know, what I did already, the successes I had, that's there, right? But am I planting those seeds for the future successes? That's kind of where, you know, where our mind has to be if we want to continue to revolutionize our communities, if we want to continue to change generational, to break generational curses, to build towards generational wealth. We have to continue to always be forward thinking instead of thinking about the past and leveraging on that from the lessons that we learned. Sure. So definitely appreciate you.
I feel like if I'm in a state right now where I'm thinking about all my life could have been different if I did this 10 years ago, and I'm still stuck in that 10 years ago stage, you feel me? I'm still wondering, like, if I made that choice, you know, what would it, but I don't know. Why? Because I didn't make that choice. So for me to sit here and, like, really, like, run through my mind and really, like, try to think on, like, something I would change, nothing. Because I don't have anything. I lived it. I didn't walk this path. And I know for a fact a lot of people wouldn't be able to walk in these shoes that I've, you know, right. Been doing. So, you know, God put me the one in them. So I got to take this walk. You know, I got to see it.
Yes,
through.
Sir.
It's one of the yes, things that my God really, you go, that's what I'm saying. You got to see it through.
Yeah, right. Right on, man. Last question I got for you, Trez, man. What excites you right now? What's exciting you about life?
Oh, man. What's exciting me about life right now? I have kids. I would definitely say they're the most exciting thing in my life every day. You know, I love my family. I check on my family every day. I'm really big on, you know, big on doing things for them because they did all the, you know, things for me early on in my life to put me in this situation. But, you know, they're good. They have their house in North Carolina. Kids and them have their family in my house in Atlanta. But I would say my kids, man, is definitely that thing that's still, you know, to this day got me, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. Because, you know, if I call it quits now, you know, that just making it seems like it's okay for, you know, them letting on down the road. And I never want them to be in that aspect. I never want them to be in that mindset. But I get to, you know, watch them grow. I get to, you know, watch them become into their own people. Like I said, I hold conversations with them nowadays, and I got to catch myself sometimes because it's the replies they give back are, like, dead on. It's to the point where you don't know if you got to discipline it or laugh about it. Like, I really don't have that aspect, like, to the point where my son... daughter, they literally been giving it to their mom. Literally, they said something. What are you talking about? But at the same time, I'm laughing, bro, because it's like, man, like they use that content
at the right time.
Like, when it's supposed to go in there and actually fit it. So it's like, man, like, so man, I think, like, just like I said, even just having that conversation with Tar Woman and being able to smile and laugh, bro, like, that's keeping me going right now, bro.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. I love it. Yes, that's good stuff, bro. Man, so Trez, man, how can the people follow you, bro? How can the people follow your businesses? If they want to catch up with you, where can they find you at?
Social media, Trez_8. That's the IG. Twitter, Monster Trez. My business, Kick Scoop Official. My gym is Competitive Performance on Instagram and Facebook. My daycare, the website is Mom Puddin's Daycare. my dog kennel business with me and my brother is it's called Ace Bully Camp. So that's hit me on any one of them, bro. I'm there. You feel me? My Twitch name, sure. Monster Trez, same thing. Like, so
I love it, man. Spread it. Just, you gotta spread it across, right? Man, drop all of them, man. Drop all of them, man. I appreciate you, bro. Again, man, I really do appreciate you tapping in with us, guys. You listened to the check-in with the homie Montrez Harrell.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you taking time out your busy schedule, bro. Y'all in the middle of season, man. I keep up the drip, bro. I see the drip. I see the tunnel walk. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, now. It's a reason.
Yeah,
that's all simple. They know who it is. They know who it is. That stick too. Yeah, when I flip that tunnel wall, it's a soft silver wall. You feel me? When I go on the court,
yeah,
you get the Monster Trez. You feel me? They go hand in hand. You feel me? I'm really.
You know what?
I watch a lot of anime too, so I got split personality.
Okay,
man. I got to, you know, walk through that tunnel, you get the soft silver Trez. When I get on the court, that's where you get the Monster Trez. You know, they all tie together.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. For sure, man. Well, shoot, next time you in Dallas, bro, I'm gonna have to link up with you. You know, say let my tailor get his hands on you.
You got my information, man. Whatever you want, you know, had a conversation, talk fashion, basketball, whatever, man. I'm chill, man. I ain't
let's go,
person, bro. Yeah, we definitely
let's go. Let's go, bro. I appreciate you, man. Trez, man, best to you, bro. Blessings to you, to the family, bro. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
Awesome.
Let nobody tell you different, bro. Keep doing what you're doing. You changing the narrative, bro. That's what we love to hear, man. So from one brother to another, kudos, King. Guys, again, share this story with somebody else who can listen in and tap in. Don't forget to subscribe to the Check-In with Black Menswear. We're going to be back very soon. But y'all,
yes,
thank you, Trez, for joining us. Y'all be good out there.
Thank you for listening to the Check-In with Black Menswear. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and tell a friend about it. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Black Menswear. Check out and subscribe to the Black Menswear YouTube channel. And visit us online at www.weareblackmenswear.com to join the mailing list for ongoing updates for the Black Menswear Flash Mob Tour. Peace and blessings.
Needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.